Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place. Hello, Dev.
Hey, everyone. It's Dev.
It's been a while.
We have been gone for a while because, if you can or cannot tell, I have been a little bit under the weather, so I am sorry for keeping what truly matters away from you, which is Monster Smut episode. but before we get into that, I don't know if anybody is interested in what we've been up to, but like I said, I have been a bit sick. But I have gotten some book mail. I actually just got a box from JLA for the third book in the Flesh and Fire series. And because I've been sick, I haven't unboxed it yet. I just know it's there. It's been sitting on my table. And hopefully now that I'm getting a little bit better, I can unbox it and share videos and pictures with you. I also just got Filthy Rich Vampire in the mail. So I'm excited about that. Seems like it.
That's on my TBR.
Fits the vibe for this episode. Yeah, I got that. And I went to go see All American Rejects and Newfound Glory and Motion City Soundtrack in concert in San Diego, and I went to the zoo. All American Rejects were a little bit cringe. I'm not gonna lie.
That makes me so sad.
I was, maybe it's just me. I've never seen All American Rejects live.
I feel like I contributed to that because I hyped you up so much in the beginning. I was like, I saw them opening up for Bon Jovi one time. And literally, I was the only person in that entire stadium who, like, knew any of their music. And I was so into it. I was, like, standing up and singing all the words. And it was just me in a stadium full of people. So he made eye contact with me and, like, looked at me a lot because it was just me. And that was like, my night. I was like, this is amazing. So then I think I hyped you up. I was like, they're amazing. You're going to have so much fun. And then they were weird.
I think that if they were an opener, it probably would have been a little bit better, but because they were like the headliner and they had more time,
I was gonna say more time stuff, I saw them as an opener. So
they were great, like them live. I was like happy that I could say that I've seen them live now, but it was just everything in between, like their show itself, like the show that they put on. They started off like, okay, Tyson Ritter, I think that's his name, came out wearing, like, a mesh long sleeve underneath,
overalls, sent a picture. I think.
So that was, like, one thing. And then, like, right after that, they played the first song, and then their little speech right after the first intro song was, like, how crazy would it be if we were in a time vortex right now? Like, what if I told you that, like, the louder you scream, the further back in time we go? But, like, that's not how he sounded. Like, just imagine, like, I don't even know how to explain the way he was talking. It was just, like, so invested in this time vortex or whatever. So everyone's screaming, and then, like, the time in the background's going back, and he's like, we're back in 2000 motherfucking 2. And I was like, what are you saying right now? Like, just play the song.
Oh, no.
So then they started playing their they started playing their music, and then I was like, okay, this is better. So I stayed for like 4 or 5 songs, and then the last thing I remember him saying before I turned and looked to who I was with, and I was like, okay, it's time to go. He was like, all right, this one's for the ladies, and he like did like a body shimmy into his guitar, and I was like, I'm done.
No.
All right, let's go get merch. So we walked out of the crowd and went to go wait in the merch line while everybody was watching them. And then we just stood in the back to listen to a few more songs. And I was like, yeah, I think I got my All American Reject fix.
I have
like,
experienced this.
I'm good. Yeah. Like, great. Let's get a move on. Newfound Glory sang Frozen, the Let It Go from Frozen.
They did?
The singer came out in, like, an Elsa dress, and they had bubbles everywhere. And I was like,
see, that so much.
Disney is pop punk now. Like, I don't know what other,
I saw them at Riot Fest 1 year, and they were really good.
Yeah, I've seen them a few times, and they always put on a good show. Motion City Soundtrack was also really good. And then we saw the Get Up Kids, which I don't really know of their music or have seen them live, but they were pretty good. They were fun.
Nice.
And now I'm getting over a cold, so all of that good October traveling, and now it's catching up to me. But yeah, what have you been up to?
All the things. I went to Forks. That's the biggest one. I think the last episode I was about to go to Forks, and now a month later, I can tell you that I've been. And I need a whole episode.
Everyone wants to know how it was.
Yeah, I think I need a whole episode on its own just to talk about it. But I knew going in, intellectually, I knew going in that Forks is a very small town. But it's another thing to experience Forks being a very small town. It's literally like one block big. They have like a Twilight driving tour where you can go and see the supposed sites of where shit happens in the book. And it took us maybe a half an hour. I'm being generous. It took like 20 minutes because it's all right there. And it cracks me up because it's like the self-proclaimed Cullen House or the self-proclaimed Charlie House.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that mean? You just like were the first one to call dibs? How do you know?
Is it so it's not the actual house? Does it even look like, do they look like the houses?
Kinda. The Cullen House does like look like the Cullen House. It's not as far away. Like in the book it seems so far away to me. Because Bella's always like, I have to drive and I can't find the driveway. Yeah. But it's not like that at all. She has to like
go up into the mountains or wherever.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, the trees are everywhere. It's not like that in the town. There's like two trees in the yard. But it does kind of look like it. And Charlie's house kind of looks like Charlie's house. So I can see it. But I'm like, I think you're full of shit. And we found out, which I did not know, that it was filmed in Oregon, not Forks, the movie. So that was a mood killer. But all of the stuff from the books is in the town. Like they have the diner and stuff because people come looking for it, I guess. Oh, and they have like a little movie museum, and museum is very generous. It's just one room filled with stuff from the movie. But one of the things is the Renesmee doll, and it's terrifying. So there's that. They call it Chekesme. there's literally a plaque that's called Chuck Desme. And before you go in, they tell you, like, she was made for the movie. She wasn't made for longevity. So she's pretty much like her face is melting off pretty much. And it's true. She looks like she's melting and it's absolutely terrible. So
Wow. There's
that.
And for people who are still thinking about venturing over there, I know you said that you found some hidden gems.
Oh, yeah. Well, it ended up being real. I mean, it was really fun because I was with my friend and we had a good time. And we stayed in a Twilight hotel room, which was just something else. Edward watched us sleep every night. It was an experience. But it's right by the Olympic National Park. So we went and like did a bunch of trails and stuff there. So it actually was like really beautiful and the weather was perfect. And I don't know, it was really nice. So we had a good time.
Other than the Twilight one, or that was there but it was closed when you went?
There's a timber museum that we did not go to, which I was like, how do you have a... Oh, I know what you're talking about. The Bowie Museum.
Yes, that one. I couldn't remember what it was. I was like, wasn't it like a bow or something?
I was telling my mom that we were going to Forks, and she was like, where are you going? And I was like, Forks. And she's like, why are you going to Forks? It's like, because it's where Twilight takes place. And she was like, wow, okay. And then she started looking into Forks. And she was like, are you going to go to the Bowie Museum? And I was like, what are you talking about? So I looked it up and there literally is a Bowie Museum, which I didn't even know that buoys had a rich enough history to necessitate a Bowie Museum, but they do, I guess. But it was closed when we went. We couldn't go.
Well, for everybody who wants to go to Forks, now you know that you have multiple museum options and a diner and some Twilight.
You can definitely hotels, do it in a weekend. So. I took a day off of work and it made it a 3-day weekend, and I didn't really need to do that, but it was still a lot of fun.
Also, to close out the museum talk and everything, I saw a TikTok video on the Ouija board museum. Apparently, there's only one in the world.
Oh.
And it seems fitting for our last spooky season episode. But yeah, just know that there is a Ouija board museum, and there's, like, history behind how the Ouija board, like, came to be. So
that's really cool.
I'll find the TikTok video. If anybody wants it, we could link it out there. But it was, like, a CNN short snippet on, like, the Ouija board. So
I thought it was kinda cool. I love the Ouija board. And then on the flight to and from Forks, I started watching One Piece, the live action show on Netflix, and it's so good. I need to finish it. I'm like 4 episodes in, I think. But I love it.
Yeah, I think
it.
I've only seen the first 2, but it's fun, yeah.
And what else? I read a buttload of I read like 5 Monster Smut books, which was a lot for me because that's not something I normally read. And so we'll talk about that. And Dev and I got to read, can I talk about it?
I think we can
mention it mysteriously
about it. Yeah. We can mention it vaguely because she's already posted about it on Instagram. We just can't say anything.
An author who has been on this podcast for an interview, let us read an.
No, we can say
we can. And by that I mean, yeah. By that I mean Kaylee Smith. Let us read
Kaylee Smith.
an early rendition of her book, her ghosty book that's going to be coming out next year.
I don't know,
and it was so good.
If that's a confirmed date. But yes, Kaylee Smith, who has joined us for her YA debut novel, A Ruinous Fate, announced, if you go to her Instagram, we can link it too, announced that she's writing an adult horror romance book. And so she reached out and asked us if we wanted to be, what are they called? Like the beta readers?
Beta readers. I know, I didn't even know that's
vibe checkers,
what we were for a while.
Vibe checkers, beta readers, and so that was pretty fun, and I will say that I highly enjoyed
reading that. I ate that shit up.
So
I read it in like 2 days.
Very
it was
excited
so good.
For it, yeah. It that took was a bit longer because I was all over the place, but it was really good. If I was in my normal reading mood, I think I could have finished it in like a day or so.
Yeah. I ate that shit up, and that was only, like, the early version of it, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, so everybody get excited. We will definitely be talking more about it when the time comes, but just
Yay.
Know that we're... You'll have something, hopefully, for spooky season next year.
Yay! Fingers crossed.
But yeah, we can jump into the actual topic of today. It's a good segue into what we're talking about. But because I've been sick and we haven't really been able to give any content for spooky season, we decided to just, like,
mush it all together.
Bunch up all of our topics into one and just have, like, a chaos episode of spooky season recommendations. One of our episodes is going to be Monster Smut, so I think we're going to talk about that first and then go into other stuff. But I have decided that Monster Smut is not really my vibe. I think I need, like, humanoid features.
Yep. This was a weird area for me. I've read I think I read 2 orc books, a book about a wolf man, a book about a guy with tentacles. I read a book about a gargoyle man, and I can get down. Oh, and I'm also counting for our alien episode forever ago. I read a lizard man book. So I'm going to count that too because that was an experience. But I can get down with the orcs and I can get down with the gargoyle because they're basically humans. They just have extra stuff. Like orcs have larger tusks sometimes. I don't know. I can get down with that.
Yeah.
But like the wolf man had a snout and I was like, how are you kissing?
Yeah, I know.
I also need some of these books to come with illustrations.
So we were also talking to Kaylee about these and about how, like we were wondering if people, like, self-insert themselves into the story when they're reading it and if that's, like, what is intriguing to people who read these kinds of books. And I feel like with the ones I've read, it's not necessarily that they're monsters. I think it's like the acts that they do with the monsters.
I think so.
I was reading one with, like, it has three different monsters. It's called, hold on, let me pull up my Goodreads so I can get the name right. So I read two only. I didn't beat Loretta's number. But I read the Minotaur Milking Farm one.
That sounded really cute.
Part of a series. It was. Well, I'll get to that. It's called Morning Glory Milking Farm, Cambric Creek Number 1 by Ciemnas Costa. And that one was actually very cute. Like, even though I'm not in super into, like, the monster element, it was, like, Halloween Town, but just, like, very slice of life, like, cozy, romantic, and fun. Like, there's not, like, this epic villain. There's not, like, a they don't break up or anything. Like, it's really just, like, cute, like, vibing. And I'm like, I want to live in this town of monsters. Like, this sounds really fun. And then the other one I read that I was talking about like, the acts that they do, it's called An Inheritance of Monsters, The Void Number 1 by Kate Corvin. And I rated that 3 stars for, like, variety of reasons. It wasn't bad. There was just, like, little things that I was like, okay. There's a lot of, like, little plot holes. And there's one character. His name is, like, Crispy Gonzalez or something like that.
Crispy?
And it was just very scary. Yeah, it's short for, like, Crispiano or something like that.
Oh,
and
that makes, like, more sense.
He talks in, like, Spanish, and he's, like, it's Spanglish, and he's, like, oh, yeah, mi princesa, or, like, you got it, jefe. And I'm, like, this is so stereotypical. No one talks like this. Like, it just irked me so much, like, adding in, like, little Spanish words. I'm, like, why can't he just be Crispy Gonzalez just speak English the whole book? Like, why does he have to be like, no problem, jefe? And I was like, this is so stupid. But it's, like, little things like that bugged me. But the overall story, I thought, was okay. But the villain was, like, very obvious. But there's 3 monsters in this one. There's a tentacle man. There's, like, a huge god, like, boogeyman seeming monster. And then, like, the monster under the bed who has, like, 4 arms and I don't know what else, but they're, like, not, quote, traditional monsters. They all have, like, their own unique names and their own unique aspects, so I couldn't really imagine what they look like. Like, one of them had 6 eyes, one of them has, like,
tentacles. That's what I mean. We need visual aids.
But, yeah, but I think what some readers like is the elements of, like, the sexual acts, because in this one, there's, like, a lot of stretching and a lot of, like, lubrication and, like, knots. One of them has a knot on the
Oh my god, a knot was in one of mine too. Like,
yeah, and so, like, the whole thing is that she belongs to all 3 of them. She belongs, and, like, this is the one thing I will say is that, like, she belongs to all 3 of them, and I've never read a Why Choose novel before because I'm like, I don't get it. Like, doesn't make sense. Why would you just haven't? Want all of these men around? Like, I can barely handle 1 man around. Like, I don't want 3 men around.
I feel that, yeah.
But in a monster romance, I feel like it makes sense because you have them all there and they're, like, monsters. Like, they don't have
human male
tendencies. They don't have, like, those, you know, like, they all work together and they're like, oh, yeah, this is my mate. Like, she's all of our mates. And so every time they're together, like, in a sexual encounter, it's always like, oh, you have to have him, like, lube, like, it's called slick, which is, like, really gross. He's like, you have to use him, the guy with the tentacles, to, like, stretch you out so that way, like, I can fit in you. And, like, it's, like, a whole thing.
No.
But I feel like all of those things individually, like, in theory, can happen with, like, human dalliances. Like, stretching seems plausible, and, like, multiple partners is plausible, and, like, all the different things individually can work. But the fact that it's in, like, a monster romance, I feel like, gives people the in to experience it without being weirded out, because you're like, oh, yeah, it makes sense, it's monsters, versus, like, if you talk about that with another human, you're like, yeah, I have to use all of these things to, like,
Get me off
or what, you know? Like, it's like,
yeah,
the monsters give them a way in to experience all of those
things that they might want to
yeah, want to experience in real life that they, like, may have trouble talking about, which, like, I get. If that's your thing, that's cool. Like, no shame.
Yeah.
Like, do your thing. I appreciate it. Like, live your life.
I kept getting, there was always something I would get hung up on. Okay, so I read my favorites that I read. Actually, Ashley Bennett is one of the authors, and she follows our podcast account, which is how I found her. And her
nice shout out. Maybe we can interview her.
I know, shout out. I saw her profile picture when she followed us, and I was like, that's the cutest profile pic. And I don't know what made me click on it, because usually I don't, but I went to her profile page, and then she has like the cutest monster books, and I was like, sign me up. So when we were doing this, I read, she has one called Leviathan. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing this.
Leviathan.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. I'm Leviathan question mark. L-E-V-I-A.
L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. Fitness.
Leviathan Fitness, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Leviathan, that's the series is like name. Okay. It's like a sea monster. A Leviathan, right? I think.
Yes. Oh, yes. She covers this in the book. Anyway, I'm an idiot. That is a tentacle monster. Or a... Yep. Tentacle, I don't know. But that's the series name. The first book is called Muscles and Monsters, and it's about a wolf man who is half man, half wolf, and he owns the gym. And then this baker who has a business right by there, they meet, and then like they hit it off, obviously, and they like get together. The story is so cute. Like, I loved the book, but I kept getting hung up on, like, him having a snout. And I was like, how would you kiss that? And he's, like, hairy like a wolf. He has the body of a man, but he's hairy like a wolf. That kind of got hung up there, too. And then he has a knot. And I was like, she kept talking about the knot. And I was like, I don't understand. I made a mistake because I Googled it. And then real dogs came up, and that was just a real vibe killer. So that was a mistake.
Wait, dogs have knots?
Yes! That's a real dog wolf thing.
Oh my god, I didn't realize that it was like
there were pictures, I saw actual photos, and I was like, oh, this just took me right out of it. So
this is my Achilles heel, because I'm so curious and I need to know. Like, I'm after this, I'm 100% gonna go Google that, because I didn't realize that.
If you're anything like me, yeah, do not Google it, just be there for the vibes. Like, the story was so cute. I loved everything else. But anyway, but I liked the book enough to keep going. So I read the second one called Tentacles and Triathlons. And that one I loved. And it's about, I want to say Cthulhu, but that's not right. Anyway, he's like a tentacle man. He's
some type of monster with tentacles, yeah.
I know, I'm completely blanking on what type of monster. Okay, wait, but for real,
I'm going to read these now, and we should reach out to her and see if she wants to
We should. They're super cute. On the show, and I want to keep I actually want to keep reading them. Yeah.
I'll read them.
The second book is about the Tentacle Man.
I have Kindle Unlimited for like 2 more months, so I'm going to download them.
Do it. They're super short, too. So like really bingeable. The second one is about the Tentacle Man, who is friends with the Wolf Man, who owns the gym, and he falls for the main character from book one, her brother. So, it's really cute. And
I love this. I love the, like, slice of life, homey, monster.
It's just like a contemporary, but it's monster smut.
Yeah, if I'm gonna read a monster book, it has to be that specific niche, like slice of life, cozy style. Like that's what I'm into.
I couldn't get into the Wolfman thing, but I loved this series and I want to keep reading it, so I do recommend them.
I also just started. By just start, I mean like I downloaded it to my Kindle, but the Cambric, I think it's Cambric Creek series, the one with the Minotaur milking farm.
Oh, yeah. I
there's read four books. And the second one is called Sweet Berries. And it is with a Mothman. So.
Nice.
We'll see how that
what
goes.
Is a, what is and a Mothman? I think.
Oh, here. I could show you a picture of the cover.
Oh, good.
It's literally like, which way? That way. A man with like moth-like features, like moth wings. And then I think that the third book is, I'm going to look it up just right now, but I think it's a werewolf or a wolfman. Moon-blooded breeding clinic is book number 3, and that is a werewolf. And then number 4, I think is a like
werewolf, maybe.
Yeah. Number 4 is like a ghoul or something. I don't know. It's in like a tea room. I don't know what the 4th one is. I need to look it up. But anyway, there's 4 books so far.
The other series I read, well, I read the first one. The other one I really loved. I actually got this recommendation from Destiny at Howling Libraries, so go and follow them because they're awesome. But she told me about, or they told me about Haven Ever After, number the first, it's called Haven Ever After. Why can't I talk today? And the first book is called Getting It On With a Gargoyle. Getting It On With Gargoyles. And it's literally Halloween Town. Like, these girls are witches, but they don't know they're witches, and they go on a road trip, and they stop at this gas station, and they're like, we're trying to find a town to stop in. Can you help us? And he's like, oh, yeah, here, just go into the, you know, whatever, do this. And they enter, like, this alternate dimension town that's filled with monsters, and it's so cute, and she ends up falling for the gargoyle man, who is the man who led them into the town in the first place. And he's really hot, but he has horns and wings. So there's like a wingspan joke. We all love that. And he's pretty much like a human with horns. And he might have a tail. I can't remember. I think he has a tail. But he had, what was it? He had something that cracked me the fuck up. And it was like a clit stimulator? He had, like, an extra appendage that, like, was supposed to stimulate you or something when they were together.
Okay, but that reminds
me. And it vibrated. She described it as vibrating, and I was like, what?
Okay, that reminds me of the third monster in, like, the Inheritance of Monsters book that I read. He has, like, ridges all over his penis, like, nubs, and she makes a comment to herself of, like, how she knows it's gonna feel really good inside her. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I know that people will buy, like, toys that have, like, the extra nubs and stuff, so I'm like, maybe there's something there. I don't know, but this feels kind of weird to me.
It was along that line. And she got excited about it, too. She was like, oh my god, that's gonna feel amazing. And then it does, and she gets all, like, crazy about it. But I don't know. Like, girl, I get it. But also, I cannot picture this at all. I need a visual aid.
Okay, if you're going to pick, since I don't think we have a game plan for today, I'm just going to throw out my would you rather question. Would you rather do the monster smut with, like, those kinds of things? Or would you rather do the alien trend where you have, like, toys that put alien eggs in you?
No, I hate that! I remember one of my friends sent me a link or something to that, and I was like, what?
Okay, you got the pick, though. The alien eggs or the monster anatomy.
What was the first choice? Because you cut out.
So would you rather do monster anatomy? You get to choose whatever monster you want. Or would you rather do the alien egg insemination thing?
Oh, I can't do the egg thing, so it's definitely monster anatomy. What would you do? You wouldn't pick the egg thing, would you?
No, I would pick the monster. I don't know.
I have
which
control
monster,
over
but
that. Yeah, I don't know what either.
what about would you pick the monster anatomy or would you pick the alien anatomy? Did you read any alien books when we did our alien episode?
I read that book about a lizard man, and he had a penis that could, like, go inside of him. It's really weird. I don't remember it being unique in any way, though. I think it was just a penis. You just could, like, tuck it in.
Okay, so the alien books that I read, one of the series.
You had one that had an extra one, right? I think
both. Yes, like the mating penis. So like the regular penis and then like the retractable mating part of it that came out. That's like right. When he was doing an extendo it with his mate. Penis. Yeah. So you do like the extendo alien penis or like the monster not penis. I don't know which one I would prefer.
The knot in the wolf book I read sounded slightly terrifying because it sounded huge, and I don't know if it was or not, so I'm going to go with the extendo option if we're choosing. This is such a chaotic episode.
I think I would pick the same thing. I don't know. These are the tough questions that we're willing to
there
ask.
There was a whole plot point in the book.
Let us know what they would choose.
Yeah, please tell us. There was a whole plot point in the book that I read where they were like, I don't know if my knot will fit inside of her, and it's okay though if it doesn't because I love you anyway. And then he finally like, she finally like takes his knot and he's like, oh my god, you took my knot. And it's like a big thing. It's like a big deal.
in the book that I read with the monster that has a knot, he had to like come first before, so that way his like knot would like
the lubrication.
Before he like
I know what you're saying.
He would ejaculate first, so that way the knot, because the knot is what's full of like semen apparently, and so like when he is like ready to go, it's like huge and hard, so he would have to like ejaculate first, so that way it would like compress back down, and then like quickly like shove it in, so that way he could like get hard again, and then like the knot would like
expand.
That's how I'm like trying to use my hands. The knot would like expand and then like hook him into place inside, like so he couldn't come out.
Like, oh my god!
Until they were done. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. This
is a lot.
Takes away my power. Like I don't like this. Oh, and the monsters that I read had claws, so they had like fingers, but then like the claws extended out. So they still had, like, finger pads, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I trust claws. Like, claws seems, like, too much for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I feel like the gargoyle guy had claws. And I think her character was, like, worried about it. She was like, are you gonna, like, hook me with those? And then it's, like, never brought up again. So apparently it's fine, but... Yeah, claws would freak me out, too.
I think the moral of the monster smut genre for both of us is that we prefer shifters and
100%.
Monster smut is just...
I don't know if we're an authority on monster smut, but I totally like...
Yeah, if anybody else has any like fun stuff for us to try... Yeah, like, I'll read it, but I'm definitely not reading it because I am, like, invested in, like, a Mothman or, like, a sea monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being obsessed with a human woman. Like, I'm just gonna pretend that they're, like, mostly humanoid beings with, like, humanoid parts and then, like, go about on my merry way.
The humanoid ones,
AKA, like fairies.
The orcs I liked. I don't know if it's just the two orc books that I read. I read, what did I read? I read two orc books, and I don't know if it's just the ones I read or if this is a thing with orcs, but they both had breeding kinks, and I had to look up what that was. I read Healing the Orc's Heart by Leon Riley, which I loved. I was obsessed with the first half, and then the ending completely ruined it, so it was kind of a wash. But it was about this guy who there's like an orc war between the humans, and then he gets hurt, and so he drags himself through the forest trying to get away so no one hurts him, and then he passes out, unbeknownst to him, he passes out by this human woman's house, and then she finds him and gets a cart and ends up like dragging him back to her house and healing him back to health. And then, of course, they fall in love. And I loved the part where he was, like, trapped in the house and she was healing him and they were, like, bonding. That was so cute. And then he's an idiot and then he leaves. And he's like, it's better for me if I leave and she deserves better. So then he, like, abandons her in the middle of a war. And, of course, she, like, has to leave her house and she gets fucked over because no one's there to help her. I don't know. It's like, you're an idiot. That kind of ruined it. But I liked the orc thing because he's basically just a human. He just has some tusks. So I could get into that.
Yeah. I don't know. What else? Also, if you're looking for, I know you're saying you're reading the Gargoyle books. And if you're looking for like a YA, not smutty series to read, oh, I would highly recommend, The Dark Elements by Jennifer L. Armentrout. The first book is White Hot Kiss. And then there's a spinoff, so you have multiple book series with gargoyles. But those are definitely YA, so just go into them knowing that they are not going to be focused on the smut at all.
Yeah, those are good. I read the first one. No one's shocked that I haven't read the others, but I loved it. Who's the guy?
Dan? I know I've mentioned them before. Roth and... Roth!
Who am I thinking of? Damon. Zane. Oh, that's Alien Twilight, Zane. I think.
Yeah, Alien Twilight has a Damon, I think.
Yeah, those are good.
I think that's it for our Monster Smut section of this episode. I will say that I will read more Monster Smut if anybody has any good recs, or if it's like slice of life, send it my way. I will give it another shot.
Yeah, I haven't ruled it out. Like, I had fun.
Yeah, I had fun. Like, monsters are fun. I like monsters, but, like, I don't want to go to bed with a monster.
No.
Like, I don't need, like, a Mothman as a boyfriend. I'm fine.
No.
With humans. Or, like, a fairy. I'll take a fairy.
Yeah. Anything human shaped.
Yeah. Human-like faces. Human-like I could limbs. Also...
Okay, I read the tentacle one, and the thought of an actual tentacle touching my body freaks me the fuck out. But I appreciated, like, the extra limbs. Like that he could do more stuff with all of his limbs. That was kind of hot. I could get into that part. I don't know.
Okay, I guess the consensus is that we're unsure.
Yeah.
We're leaning towards maybe not.
Maybe we just need to find our monster, you know?
Yeah. The ones I read were not bad. They just, I don't know. You're right. I don't think a minotaur is my monster.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
How did kissing work in that book? Was it weird?
She does say that, like, it's weird because his mouth is wider than hers, so they have to get used to it, or she does.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all she mentions about it, is just that he has a wider, bigger mouth.
Yeah, that's kind of what the Wolfman thing did, too. She's like, oh, this is weird, and then, she gets used to it, I guess, and never talks about it again.
Yeah, it was like a one-and-done kind of thing, so. There also was, like, one instance where... She's talking about how she likes the Minotaur man that she is sees at her work, at her job. Mm-hmm. And then she goes home and she watches Minotaur porn. I was like, okay. Yeah. So that's like a thing in this world because humans and monsters like cohabitate. And so now the porn is now advancing and extending into monster porn. So that's a thing in this series.
Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Should we just, like, go on to our next spooky topic? Because that's all I got for monster books.
Yeah, me too. What's our next spooky topic?
We could do movies. We could do shows. I have a list of stuff that I've watched recently that I think is really good.
I do not, but, well, I do, I can say that for Friday the 13th, I went and hung out with some friends, and we watched Friday the 13th, the movie, which I had never seen before, and that was hilarious, because it's from, like, 1980, and I got kind of bored, because it's literally just a movie of people dying. There's, like, eight camp counselors, and it's just them setting up a camp for... like, the kids that are going to come, but there aren't any kids yet. It's just them setting up the camp, and then they just die. So you have to watch each of them die for, like, an hour and a half. And then at the end, yeah. The ending is really good because there's, like, a twist, and you find out who's been killing, and that part's great, but I was like, this is just a movie of people dying. But it was a good time. It's a classic. Kevin Bacon is in it. Young Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. I do love classic horror movies. I've been going through a lot of the newer releases. So I watched Totally Killer, which I think you would like. It's like a
slasher. I need to watch film, that one. It sounds it's fun. It's
like a comedy, like a horror comedy, and it has Julie Bowen. It has Kiernan Shipka. That's the girl from Sabrina, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has the girl from Sabrina. It has... There's a few other people that are in that movie that I think are relatively famous. But it is on Amazon Prime, and it is really fun. It was really funny. It was really cute. There's obviously, like, slasher elements to it, and there's time traveling, so that's fun.
Nice.
And it's not, like, too horror-y, just a little bit of blood. So I recommend that
I'm all over that.
I think anybody, even people who aren't really big on horror, can watch that one.
Yeah.
I also finished The Fall of the House of Usher
on Netflix. I've been hearing a lot about that one.
And it's based off of a short story by Edgar Allan Poe. And I had to Google everything after I finished watching the series because I'm not, like, huge into Edgar Allan Poe. Like, I've read the stuff that we had to read in school and, like, some extra stuff. Like, I have a book sitting on my shelf. But I'm not, like, a fanatic. And apparently the short story of The Fall of the House of Usher is just about a guy and his sister, and he's telling a story to, like, this third narrator person, I guess. And there are no other characters in that short story. And so what Mike Flanagan did was he incorporated characters from some of the other stories that he wrote and, weaved this really cool world where, like, the Usher family is this big pharmaceutical company empire, and they're rich, and they're moguls, they're business moguls, and it opens up with them being on trial, so they're being sued by the United States government for, like, a bunch of stuff, and it slowly goes through, like, the downfall of the family, and people start to die, and then the patriarch of the family is, like, telling the assistant DA, like, the whole story of how everything happened. And there are a lot of, like, Poe references, a lot of Poe characters, a lot of, like, the Telltale Heart. A lot of the episodes are named after some of his stories. So, like, the Raven is in there, the Telltale Heart is in there, the Pendulum.
That's really fucking cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. There is a murder at the Rue Morgue, I think, is one of them. So a lot of his stories are weaved into this, like, one big world. And I thought it was really good. So if you're into Edgar Allan Poe or, like, that kind of spooky, I would recommend that one, too. Also, anything by Mike Flanagan. I know I've talked about all of his stuff before, but, like, The Haunting of Hill House is really good. I love that series. He also did Midnight Mass, and I really like Midnight Mass.
Oh, yeah, that's been on my list, too.
The Haunting of Bly Manor. It's not my favorite, but it's okay. That one is based off of The Turning of the Screw. Yeah, so Mike Flanagan, if you're into horror. I also saw a TikTok video, and I just pulled it up before we started talking, of there's, like, a study done every year, and they update the list, but they do, like, the top scary movies according to science. And they base it off of people watching the movie and, like, their stress levels and, like, their heart rate and stuff like that. And so this year, the list has Sinister at the number one scariest movie, according to science, which I really do like Sinister. If you haven't seen Sinister, it's very creepy. It is on the scarier side with a lot of, like, icky, borderline, intense deaths. but have you seen Sinister? Do you know what it's about? It's with Ethan Hawke, the first one. So the concept is that Ethan Hawke, the plot, the synopsis, Ethan Hawke is a writer. He writes, I think, crime books, or he talks about true crime in his books, or maybe he does fictional crime based off of true crime, one or the other. And him and his family move into this house, and the house is well known for it, like, a bunch of families being murdered mysteriously, or, like, bad stuff has happened in that house before. mm-hmm. weird things start to happen in the house. And there are eerie homemade, what are they called? Home videos that they find that people start to watch. And it's just...
Ew.
It's I liked it. I won't give anything else away. But yes, him and his family run into some scary stuff in that house that is known for a lot of deaths. And there's a Sinister 2, I think.
I'm not going to add that one to my list, but I'm here to support anyone who wants to.
And then the second one is Host. And Host is about a group of friends who are on like a Zoom call. And they, I think, are doing a seance, or they're doing, they are doing a seance on a Zoom call.
I think I remember trailers for this. Yeah, and then
they inadvertently spawn a supernatural force that is somehow going after all of them. And so you're watching it, the POV is like from a Zoom call, or from like a virtual, yeah. So it's really cool. I've seen that one. I thought it was pretty good. Three is Skinamarink. I also have seen this one. I will say that this one is scary, but it's a indie film and it's very artsy. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, you might think it's boring. Like, it takes a while, but it's shot in a way that makes you just feel anxious and stressed the entire time. Like, there are shots of just like a hallway, like an empty hallway with like the sound of a light on. And you don't know if there's something that's going to pop out or if it's just going to end or like what. And it's following these two kids and they're in a house.
Oh my God.
And they wake up and they find out that like nobody is in the house with them. So they're trying to figure out like what to do or where to go. Like, they can't escape. And so it's just following them and they end up like in front of the... And it's set, I don't think it's in modern times. Like, it's a very, like, 1980s, maybe 70s vibe, I don't know. But they have, like, an old school TV. And it's not, like, your classic horror. Like, there's no blood. There's no, like, jump scares. Like, you do, like, hear things. You do see a few different things. But it's a lot of just, like, anxiety-ridden, like, very artsy shots. So... Yeah.
Yeah, mind games.
So I will say, just like keep it in mind. Yeah, let me know actually. If you watch it. Let me know what you think. Four is Insidious, and I love the Insidious movies. Like, I think that they're so good.
Are these the ones that are connected that you were like watching? Like, all the ones that relate, you were watching?
So there are a few. This one is a series, and they're all related, and they just came out with Insidious, The Red Door.
I think the one
you're thinking of is The Conjuring. And The Conjuring series is all in the same world.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
But Insidious follows a family who are being haunted by they don't know what. And then one of the sons goes into a coma. And the family is trying to figure out, like, what's going on and why he's in a coma. And then they find out that he can, like, astral project out of his body and go to another dimension. And so, haunting, different dimension, demonic stuff goes on. There's a lot of, like, spooky stuff. I really like that. And there's a lot. The first one is really good, though. And then, speaking of, The Conjuring is number 5. And I also really like The Conjuring series. there's a lot of them. And they're all... They're in different series. So, you have, like, The Conjuring series, The Nun series... You have the Annabelle series, and there's a few, like, one-offs, but they're all in the same world because they all follow Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are, like, super famous demonologists. And I think he's a demonologist, and she's, like, a psychic medium or something like that. And they actually did this in real life. Like, the stories of the movies are based loosely off of, like, things that they... encountered while working and studying and researching, like, possession and haunted houses and things like that. Those I think will scare you. Like, don't go into them if you don't like jump scares, if you don't like crazy things happening in house. Like, that, those I think are, like, very classic scary movies.
Yeah. I'm such a baby.
Also, I'll link the list out of all of these movies, so that way you can do your own research
That's cool, though, that there's, like, a scientific
Yeah, they
list.
Did it based off of, like, heartbeats per minute and other stuff. Let me see. How to measure the scariest movies. Okay. With the science of scare score, one of the main pieces of feedback, blah, blah, blah. The new score system combines both heart rate, measured in beats per minute, and heart rate variance. With heart rate, the higher the number, the faster the movie got our audience's blood pumping. Heart rate variance measures the time in between each beat of your heart. The lower the heart rate variance, the more stressed our audience members became. So they based it off of, like, how your body is reacting to all of these movies. So Conjuring, and then number six is Hereditary. I freaking love Hereditary. It is, I want to say it's also an indie film, I'm not sure, but that one is so, it makes you feel really uncomfortable, and it's, like, not ghost scary, like, it's not a classic scare, but it just makes you feel icky and weird and, like, yeah, I don't know what else to say without giving away a lot of the, like, main things that make it that wild.
Cringy.
But it also follows a family that's, like, very dysfunctional. It has one of the Wolf Brothers from the Naked Brothers band in it, and Toni Collette is the mom, and she's so good. Amazing performance. But also highly recommend Hereditary.
Oh, nice.
Okay, number seven on this list is Smile. And I didn't really like Smile. It was okay up until the ending.
I was going to say, you hated Smile.
I did not appreciate where they took it. And the concept I get, I could see why it's scary, but I was like, okay, this is fine. Like, had a few jump scares, but not the best thing in the world. So I guess people got scared by it, but I thought it was whatevs. Number eight is The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I've seen a few times and I can't remember, like, I don't have an opinion on if it's good or not. I just know that I've seen it and I like exorcism movies. But if I'm going to recommend that kind of movie, I'm going to recommend The Taking of Deborah Logan. So if you haven't seen The Taking of Deborah Logan, please watch it. I think it's on Amazon Prime. And that one follows an old woman with Alzheimer's and her daughter, and they hire they don't hire them. They let a film crew come in, like a research team come in to record, like, their life with Alzheimer's and how it affects them because they need money. So the research team is paying them money to record everything. And things start to happen. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if it's because she has dementia and Alzheimer's and it's because her mind is wasting away or if it's something else. So there's just, like, that added, like, this look at, like, the human experience. Yeah.
And what's how, real? Like, what isn't?
Sometimes when you have these, you know, illnesses or injuries or things that you can't help, like, it could seem scary. Like, it could be something that seems sinister or evil. And then sometimes it really is just sinister and evil, and mm-hmm. you don't know which is which. So that's not on this list, but I recommend that one. I think it's on Amazon. Nine is Hell House LLC, which I just watched because I had never seen it. And that one was really creepy. I was like, I don't need moving clown mannequins in my life. Thank you very much. But this is a found footage movie. And it follows a group of people who have this business called Hell House LLC. And they create haunted houses every year in different locations. And this one location, something really bad happened. And it's shot in a documentary style. So it's like people after the whole horrific events, the tragedy happened, somebody is documenting the lead up to it. And so they're doing interviews with the police. They're doing interviews with, like, people who are waiting in line to go into the house. And then they interview, like, the only survivor. And she says, here's everything that you need. Like, here's the whole story. And it's footage that they recorded themselves from when they started setting up to the happenings and everything like that. And there is, like, a huge plot twist at the end. And I was like, what the F? But that one is really good. So if you need a movie for Halloween, Hell House LLC. If you're into, like, the classic haunted house vibes. And then to round out the top 10, we won't go into, there's like 50 on this list, but we'll link it out because a lot of these are really good. I think I've seen most of them. But the 10th spot is Talk to Me. And that is an A24 movie. I think it was made in Australia. And that one is also really good. Like, that movie was crazy.
I feel like A24 has some really
good ones. Yeah, A24 has some really good ones. The Witch, I think, is A24. And that one was really good, too.
I really have nothing to offer. In terms of horror movies, I've seen, like, Carrie and The Shining.
Those are good.
And, yeah, I mean, classics. I did see Nope. I got tricked into watching that. I would not have watched it on my own. But it was really good. I thought it was... The way... It's good. I liked it because the way it's shot was really good. Like,
it's very really cinematic. Cool
looking. Yeah, absolutely. And then after I was done, I, like, looked up a bunch of shit about how he filmed it and stuff, which was interesting. That's a newer one that I've seen, but that was like 2 years ago that I watched it. I don't know anything Alfred Hitchcock I've seen. You know, anything old and not relevant.
Old movies are good too. We just watched The Exorcists, and that one is still pretty good. I will say that it's not.
See, I think seen that
you
one.
Would actually be able to sit through The Exorcist because it's not. The focus is not about the little girl who is possessed. The focus is more around everybody else. Like, the focus is on the mom who is just trying to, like, save her daughter and turning to religion that she knows nothing about to, like, get the sake. You don't even know how she got possessed. It's, like, kind of just implied. They don't go into, like, what happened after. It's just, you know, more of a drama.
Interesting.
So I think you could sit through The Exorcist and be kind of, like, grossed out by things, but it's not, like, too bad. Yeah.
Good to know.
Like, it won't, at least to me, it's not, like, classical horror scary where you're like, oh my god, I can't watch, like, what's gonna happen next?
Right.
That one is really good. I think it's on this list. Let's see. Exorcist is number 32.
I will say that Ready or Not was on sale the other day, and I bought that for $5, so I'm going to be watching that soon.
That one is fun. That one is more, like, a lot of, like, gore, yeah.
That seems fun, yeah.
That one is...
That doesn't seem scary. That just seems funny and kind of bloody, yeah, so I can get down with that. And that one,
if you haven't heard of Ready or Not, is about a woman who gets married, and she marries into this family. And according to the family, on your wedding night, I think, to celebrate, you have to play a game. And whatever game they pick, that's what you have to play. And so the game that ends up being picked is hide and seek, I think. And she has to hide and they have to find her. And then chaos ensues.
Bum, bum, bum. I'm here for, like, fall movies. I can't do horror movies, but, like, I went and saw The Haunting in Venice recently. Oh, I saw that, yeah. It just came out, and that was really cool. Mm-hmm. It was an Agatha Christie. Yeah, did you see? I was watching it with my mom, and I was like, this is basically just, like, serious Clue. If, like, Clue weren't a comedy, this would be it.
There's actually more. So,
but I liked that.
The dude, mysteries. The detective. Is in, yeah, so he's in, what's the train one?
Orient Express.
Murder on the Nile, or?
Orient Express, Murder
on the Nile. I think it's Murder on the Nile.
Murder on the Nile, or whatever. I didn't watch that one.
Oh,
I wanted to see it, and I never did. But then, yeah, The Haunting in Venice was really good. Death on the Nile, yeah.
I'm looking it up. Death on the Nile. If anybody's looking for, like, a tried and true classic, I think both of us approved show, Supernatural. You can't go wrong with Supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I feel like that's a good...
I need to finish. I got halfway through, and then I was like, I need a break. I've been watching this nonstop. And then I need to go back and finish it, but that's such a good show. I love it.
Yeah.
Also, Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, Stranger Things. The first season, I feel like, is the best. But, you know, the first season, American Horror Story, also, if you're into Ryan Murphy, I will say that some of the seasons are not my favorite. The first season, again, the Murder House, will always forever be my favorite, like, series, like, horror series, that it's so good.
I had a friend who was like, you need to watch this show, it's so good. And then she made, the for some reason, the first season that she had me sit down and try to watch is the circus season.
Oh, yeah, that's not, yeah.
Was it Circus Freak or whatever? And then Twisty the Clown came and started murdering people and freaked me the fuck out. And I was like, can't do this. And that kind of ruined it. So I need to go back. I really want to watch
Coven,
the Witch one.
Coven is good.
The Witch season.
Yeah, I would say start with the first season because the first season is great. But I will say that American Horror Story relies a lot on, like, taboo, really, like, making you feel kind of icky. So, like, in the first season, there's, like, a guy in a black latex suit. And there's a lot of, like, sexual undertones in a lot, like, sexual horror, or, like, body horror in the way that it's, like, icky. So if you're not into that, just know that that series has, there's going to be that in the series more often than not. But I do appreciate a good American Horror Story season, so.
Good times.
I don't really have any, like, good, I don't have any, like, cozy, scary stuff. I don't.
Oh, if we want to talk about, like, cozy fall movies, I could, like, go on for days. But I don't know if that's the vibe for this. But, like, Practical Magic, You've Got Mail.
Well, I mean, you could always watch, like, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown episode.
That was cute. I have been watching a lot of Disney Channel shit. So, like, yeah. Twitches has been on TV. So I watched both of those. The other day I watched all three Halloween Town movies. Like the adult I am. Hocus Pocus 1. Did you like Hocus Pocus 2?
It was okay. Wasn't anything ground. I feel like the original is always going to be better. It's hard to beat. Yeah, it was good.
I love it, but.
Also. Yeah. Since we're talking about Disney Channel original movies, did you ever see Don't Look Under the Bed? Because I feel like that can be considered a Halloween movie at this point.
Oh,
like,
my God, forever
ago. That one was pretty
ago.
Freaky with the boogeyman the imaginary friends and, like.
I should rewatch that because I was, like, terrified of it as a kid, but I bet it's, like,
hilarious.
Yeah,
please watch it.
You know?
I feel like if you're not into super horror, like, stick with the Disney Channel original scary movies. Or, like, Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. That was another one.
A classic, yeah.
Or Phantom of the Megaplex. That one is a good.
I was just trying to think, what was the Phantom one? It was that one.
See, I got us covered like, the Disney level scary stuff. Also, I think there's, on Disney Plus, there's, like, a Mickey short episode for Halloween where he's, like, telling scary stories to the nieces and nephews
cute.
Or the cousins.
That reminds me.
But they're telling scary stories to, like, the little kids. And it's so funny because they're like, we just can't be scary. And Mickey's like, I could be scary. And then it goes into this whole thing. It's so cute. So I'm really looking for, Disney Plus
Mickey?
Spooky Halloween. That was really fun.
That reminds me, last year? I think there's, like, a haunted mansion, like Disney, the ride Haunted Mansion, but it's a Muppet show.
Uh-huh.
It's like a Muppet little mini TV movie. And I watched that last year, and it's super cute and kind of funny. And I like that one a lot. I can recommend it. I haven't seen the new Haunted House or Haunted Mansion, but the old one with Eddie Murphy. I love that movie. I feel like that's an underrated
movie. Yeah, it's cute. I've
movie.
Seen the new Haunted Mansion, and it's cute too. Like, nothing groundbreaking, but it's Disney, so yeah.
Which just reminded me, what's the Johnny Depp one where. Uh-huh. Sleepy Hollow. I love that movie. Classic. Anyway, I'm listing out all of the non scary things.
And that's, I
that everyone
I can't
probably
help.
Is
I'm literally
bored with.
Like, all right, it is dark outside and we're a few days out from Halloween and I'm just going to sit here and find a scary movie to watch by myself.
Did you see the new Halloween?
No, I haven't seen the new Halloween.
Curious about what you thought.
I did see the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre a few weeks ago because I hadn't ever seen it. And that's a wild ride.
That seemed real gnarly.
Well, because back in the day, like, that was a different time.
That's what Friday the 13th, I was like, by, like, the third person dead, I was like, this is boring. I need, like, a plot. Help me out here. We're just watching people die.
Oh, speaking of needing a plot of, like, classic horror, The Cabin in the Woods is also really good.
I've seen that. I love that movie. I forgot about it.
That movie is really good.
Don't look it up. Don't look at one of my friends made me watch it and she was like, don't look it up at all. Don't
go into it knowing
anything about it. Just watch it.
All you have to know is that Chris Hemsworth
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like horror movies and I absolutely love that movie. So if you're even worried about it, like, don't be. It's so good. I need to rewatch that actually.
It's a good time. I think it's a good Halloween movie. Also underrated, but I don't know why this is in my head, but I think it's called 13 Ghosts with Matthew Lillard. Let me see. It has really bad reviews. It has 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but for some reason, I remember just really enjoying this movie. So can someone watch it and tell me if it's as bad as people say it is?
That reminds me, though, if you want a really bad horror movie, go and watch Zombievers.
I mean, I can get down with that.
No, go and watch Zombievers because that movie is hilarious and it's literally what you think it is. This group of like teens or something goes on a trip away and they rent a cabin and then by a lake and then they find out it's infested with zombie beavers. They all basically all die. Right.
I feel like I might watch that. I'll add that to my watch list today.
And there's a really great cameo at the end, and I was like, is that who I think it is? And it is who you think it is, so you should go and watch it.
If we're going zombie movies, Train to Busan is always a classic, and I also really like Kingdom on Netflix. These are all, like,
Kingdom is really good. I've seen that one.
I think they're all Korean, because I went through a phase, and I was watching a lot of, like, international horror movies. Veronica, I think that's also on Netflix, is a really good, like, possession, not zombie related, but I was just talking about international stuff, so I thought about it.
Didn't you watch one where they were all trapped in a hotel or something and they couldn't get out?
I think it was Sweet Home, which is also a Korean horror show, and there's, like, a plague or there's some kind of virus or there's something going on, and they're in the apartment complex. And I only watched it because RM from BTS said that it was his favorite, like, horror show. And I was like, well, if RM likes it, then I probably will like it. So I watched it, and it's actually really good. I don't know if we're getting a second season or not, but it's really good. There was also one zombie show on Netflix that I watched, and it's also Korean, and they're out of school. Hold on. Let me find what it's called.
I've had about 8 people tell me to watch Train to Busan. I've heard it's really good.
It's really good, and it has, like, the main dude is in a lot of other TV shows that you might know him from. But the zombie one that takes place at a school is called All of Us Are Dead, and there's also only one season, but I think we're getting a second season. Maybe I'll watch a zombie movie later. All right. I think I'm all tapped out, but anyway, I hope that, like, something stuck, the monster smut, the scary movies, scary shows.
We covered a lot. We covered a lot, but from forks to monster smut.
To be fair, I'm still semi in a medicated haze.
Zombievers.
So forgive me.
I don't have that excuse. Hopefully,
you stuck with us and you found something to enjoy on Halloween. That's the goal. Whether it's a book, or a movie, or a show. If you need some scary games, I can give you some scary games. I don't have too many. We shouldn't get into it because I feel like that's going to take us down another rabbit hole. But anyway, if you want them, come talk to me. You need a comment.
Find us on social media. We will be taking a break through November, but we will be back in December. So in the meantime, you can find us on our social media accounts at Emo Girls Guide on all the things. X, formerly known as Twitter. Even though we're not on there anymore, we just
we don't use it. We just like to mock it now, but we're there.
Instagram mostly is where we're at. Threads, TikTok, we're on all the things.
Fable.
We have a book club. We are reading this month. We are reading the new JLA book,
Fall of Ruin and Wrath, or Fall Wrath and of... Ruin, or something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. We're reading that this month, and then I don't know what we're reading next month, but in December we'll be back and we'll have episodes about them and we'll talk about them. So
yes, there's that. Hopefully we have some holiday books for you, but like, again, you all know that I'm like a horror person. I'm not a contemporary holiday romance gal, so I'll see what I can do. Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
We'll figure it out. Isn't there a crossover?
Krampus.
Krampus. Read Krampus things.
I will bring you all the Krampus.
Also, if any of our monster smut people need motivation to keep listening to us, I did download a couple of Krampus monster related books.
I mean,
books
we
for
could
Christmas,
have the crossover so... episode that nobody wanted, which is Krampus monster smut holiday books.
All I'm saying is that I have the material to support this idea.
Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, goodbye for now.
But anyway,
we'll
be back.
Talk to everyone later. Come find us on Instagram. Peace out.
All the things. Peace out. And may your day be blessed with main character energy.
Bye.